All right, good evening, everyone. You'll take out your phones, look at your email. The first song is going to be Farther Alone, or better yet known as Tempted and Tried. Tempted and Tried. We're going to sing all three stanzas. Tempted and Tried. Here we go. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molesting, though in the wrong. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. All right, the song before the opening prayer will be What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All right. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfend. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. and temptations. Their trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who to the Lord in prayer? Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, but with a load of care, precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. Thou will find a solace there.
Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name. We thank you for the beautiful surroundings, for your creation, for all about us that declares your handiwork and your sovereignty and your glory and your might. We thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. We thank you for the friend we do have in Jesus. We ask your blessings on us tonight as we meditate on your word. Help us to use it in our daily lives that we can be better servants for you, that we can glorify your name in all that we say and all that we do. Be with those that are sick among us. Be with those that are hurting. Help them and comfort them as only you can. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and increase our faith and go with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
All right, the next song before our scripture reading and our sermon tonight is going to be Shall We Gather at the River. At the end of this song, before I forget, there is a kids or children's training class upstairs in the library. Okay, children's training class in story time in the library. All right. Here we go. Shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod? With this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk in worship ever, all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river. that flows by the throne of God. At the smiling of the river, mirror of the Savior's face, saints whom death shall never sever lift their songs of saving grace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Scripture for Tim's lesson this evening will be taken from Matthew 28, 18, verse 20. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age."
Good evening. Good to see you with us this evening. And let's admit it, we doubted, didn't we? We doubted that this would be possible, and it may yet be, but we'll go as far as we can. And if the Lord thinks I need a shorter sermon, then I guess that's his call. But we are glad that you are here tonight. Have some who are visiting with us tonight. We're glad you are here. Honored that you have come to be with us. And I know we've got some Wondermans over here and a friend. And so we're glad that you are with us. I guess the friend is Lily, isn't it? Okay. But others, we're glad that you are with us tonight. And all of you that are with us online, really glad that you have chosen to be with us in worship this evening as well. Just a couple of things. One, I got a text this morning during Bible class or maybe right before worship that our college group had made it to the further point in Panama where they were heading, and then I think it was a little further to where they're actually going to be doing their work. Amanda, can you confirm that they are now there? Excellent. Praise God. And let's keep them in our prayers. Tomorrow I'll send you a link to a photo of our group, and you'll know exactly who is down there, but keep that group in your prayers. They're planning to come home on Saturday, if all goes well. And also, just a reminder, Polishing the Pulpit begins this week. I think it's Wednesday it officially kicks off, and then it goes through about Wednesday of the following week. And if that's something you've never been to, you really ought to think about going. It is a great event, and thousands of Christians are going to converge there in Sevierville. They have classes for all ages, all groups. Singing is out of this world. Just so many reasons you ought to go and try it out. And for those that are widows or widowers, there's a very special rate. You can go for just $25, I think, for the entire time, which is about 10% of what you would pay otherwise. And full-time college students, if you are enrolled as an on-campus student, undergraduate, you also get that special rate. So anyway, something to think about, polishingthepulpit.com, I think it is, but just Google Polishing the Pulpit and you'll find the information. Now let's get into our study for this evening. I hope you've got your Bible ready to open, and let's get into the Word of God. You know, of course, that those who enter the military go through a period called basic training. And that's a very intense period of time where they are taught various things, policies, procedures, rules, how to do this or that. And it's very important that they successfully complete that. Otherwise, they'll be escorted out of the military. They won't be allowed to continue. And so that's just part of it. But what about us that are part of the Lord's army? Is it any less expectation of us? Can we just kind of casually saunter in and say, okay, Lord, I'm here, but, you know, I don't have that much time, and I really can't do a whole lot. I'll give you whatever I can. Is that how it works? The passage that Tom read for us a few moments ago is well known to us. Look again at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus there gives us expectations of what we're going to be getting into as Christians, and it's more than going down into the water. That is part of it. That's what Jesus said, baptizing them. But he also says, make disciples. That comes before, and that's the idea that I'm ready to follow the Lord in whatever he asks. Baptism is a very important first step, but there's more. And he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The idea of discipleship is something that we don't talk about a lot, but that's what we are to be. It's not just name only. It's not just showing up now and then. This is following the Lord. That's the idea of the word in the Greek of being a disciple. So in this series of lessons, I propose about three. It may change. But I'd like for us to ask the question, well, what will that result in? If I'm truly a disciple, what will be the difference in my life? And tonight we're going to be talking. If we are disciples of Jesus, nothing less will do. First of all, let's talk about following the ultimate source of truth. Following the ultimate source of truth. Jesus, as most of us and hopefully all of us would acknowledge, is the ultimate source of truth. In John 14 and verse 6, he made that very familiar statement. This is after he talks about, you know, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come again. Receive you to myself. And then they say, where are you going, Lord? We don't know how to get there. And Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We often talk about him being the way. We've got to follow him. If we don't follow Jesus, we're not going to find the Father, ultimately. But he also says there, I am the truth. He's not just a truth speaker, as I try to be. He is the truth. He is the ultimate source of truth. We notice this morning, John chapter 1, verse 14. Let's go to that again for a moment. John chapter 1, verse 14, John introduces Jesus in a very curious way. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In verse 14, we learn who that Word is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace, and we stress that this morning. But now let's also notice full of truth. Jesus is full of truth. He is the ultimate authority when it comes to the truth on living. Now, Jesus didn't tell all truth about all subjects. There's a lot of things about science and math and geology and on we could go. Jesus had nothing to say about that. But on the important issues of how to live, what kind of life to live, Jesus is the truth. He is full of truth, just as he is full of grace. And that's to be expected. John tells us in his first letter, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, that since Jesus is God, that's to be expected. He says in 1 John 1 verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He's full of truth, which means there's no room for darkness. And there is no darkness. So whatever Jesus teaches is to be taken as truth. It is truth. He is truth. And thus he is the ultimate authority. Now, somebody is going to be our master. We may say, well, I'm just not going to choose to follow anybody. I'll follow my own thinking. Well, you've made a choice in doing that. And Satan is behind your thinking that, if that's what you think. Satan is the one who fights against truth. Let me just point out a couple of scriptures that make that very obvious. John 8, verse 44, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who were not receiving what Jesus said. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so Jesus says, Satan is the ultimate source of lies. So if we're not following Jesus, if we're not being discipled by him to be people of truth, then what are we? We're going to be disciples of the lie. You can see that in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve, the first people on earth, God had given them one command. Don't eat of that particular tree. And Satan comes along. He says to Eve, has God told you you can't eat of that tree? And she says, no. If we do, we'll die. And Satan says, you will not surely die. You will not die. That was a lie. Why did he do that? Because that's his nature. And he comes along often, targeting every one of us, trying to pull us away from the truth that Jesus alone knows. And so that's our choice. And being a Christian, well, and let's notice one other passage here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8, because this tells us one reason Jesus came to this earth. John said, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so let me process that. If I'm doing anything that is not the will of God, I'm doing the will of the devil. I may not think of it like that, but that's essentially it. If I'm going against what God says and not taking seriously what the Lord has said, then I'm doing the works of the devil. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Being a Christian is more than wearing the name Christian and more than wearing a cross around your neck. It's living the life 24/7. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as we're seeing in this lesson, a lot of that means being a person of truth. Now, let's get specific as we think about this idea of being discipled to be people of truth. What exactly does that mean? Let me throw out three questions for our self-examination, and let's see, are we being discipled to be people of truth? Number one, am I a person whose word is my bond? Am I a person whose word is my bond? In other words, when I say something, you can believe me. You know that I'm a person who speaks the truth and I'll stand by it. Is that me? Psalm 15. In verse 1 of Psalm 15, the question is asked there, and we may think, wow, that's not possible. He says, Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? And that seems impossible, but apparently not, because God gives criteria for that. And one of the criteria is in the latter part of verse 4. Listen to what he says. This person swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now, what in the world does that mean? Swears to his own hurt and does not change. Have you ever made a promise to somebody and then later you thought, oh my goodness, I forgot all about something else I was going to do. I can't do what I told them. So you break the promise. Well, if you follow this, that says you're going to stand by your word, even though it may be inconvenient, even though it may be to your own hurt. Your word is very important, and God expects you to hold that view. If I promise something, and maybe that teaches us to be very careful about what we promise, but when I do, then I'm going to stand by that. I'm going to do what I have said I'm going to do. Jesus also talks about this in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. Listen to what he says there. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. And that's very much what we're talking about here. But Jesus goes even further. I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Now what Jesus is saying there is, let your word be your bond. Because sometimes people will take an oath. We don't do it as much perhaps as they did in that day and time. But often those oaths contained loopholes. Jesus in another place talked about how you say, what I would have given you to my parents is Corban. I've devoted it to the temple, and now I can't help you. An oath sometimes contains loopholes. And Jesus said, let there be no loopholes. Let your words be simple, yes or no. Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong for us to say other words than yes or no. If so, I'm in trouble, and you are too. But what he's saying is, stand by your word. And may I point out, this isn't just talking about verbal promises. It's also talking about contracts that we might enter into or loan agreements. And in our culture, that's becoming an issue. People say, well, I know I signed that, but things have happened. I can't do that. And they'll find any way they can to get out of that obligation. Being people of truth means I will stand by what I say. I will be a person whose word is his bond. But here's a second question to test ourselves as being disciples who are truthful people. Do I distort the truth when I see an advantage? Do I distort the truth when I see an advantage? In 1 Kings 13, verse 18, we have an interesting incident. Jeroboam has now taken the northern kingdom of Israel, and he's doing things that God never intended for him to do. Jeroboam was given that northern kingdom by God, but with the understanding he would follow God. Well, now that's not happening. Jeroboam has built two altars, selected people to be priests that should never have been priests. It's become false worship. And a young prophet is sent up there to condemn this. And God was very clear to this young prophet, do not stay, do not sit down and eat or drink with the king. You proclaim the message I give you, and then you head back home. Well, that's what the young prophet did. Until 1 Kings 13, verse 18. An older prophet comes to him, and he says, I also am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And because the young prophet believed a lie, he died later that day. He did not do what the Lord had told him to do. But of course, a lot of blame goes on that older prophet for lying. Now, why did he lie? We were not told. Was it to gain favor with King Jeroboam? Because now, at least, he's kind of saving face for the king. I mean, this young prophet wouldn't even come in and eat and drink with the king after the king repented. I don't know. Whatever the reason, he lied. And that was certainly wrong, and it cost the younger prophet his life. Psalm 51, verse 6. We know this psalm very well. David is writing about how penitent he is about the affair with Bathsheba, with murdering Uriah, with covering it up. Listen to what he says in verse 6 of Psalm 51. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. That sounds like David is saying, I know now, Lord, you want truth. And it's almost like he's saying as well, for a time I wasn't. I was lying. Now, Does that mean that David actually said, I didn't have an affair with that woman? I never touched that woman, as some government leaders have done in the past? Maybe not, but the fact that he did not step up and own up to what he did, the fact that he did not confess his sins, that was a lie. And so now David realizes, what I should have done was have truth in the inner being. And that's what you're looking for, Lord. I realize that now. Talking to all of us, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 25. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, and that's simply lying. That's what falsehood means. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And even though it may seem advantageous for us to maybe bend the facts or suppress the truth, which is in effect lying, we're wrong. We are discipled to be people of truth. And that's what our job is, not to distort the truth, even though there may be some advantage in doing so. And then question number three, to test ourselves, do I speak the words of eternal truth? Do I speak the words of eternal truth? In John 6, 68 and 69, John has told us about how many of those who had been following Jesus had now turned away. They were not following Jesus anymore. Why? Because Jesus said some things that were hard for them to accept. They said, these are hard things. Who can accept these? And they just gave up on Jesus and left. Jesus turned to his apostles and said, are you also going to go away? Peter spoke for them. And listen to what he says in John 6, 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Those are a couple of powerful affirmations right there. Number one, you speak words of eternal life. And number two, you are the Holy One of God, which means whatever you say, that's what we're going to do, including taking the gospel into all the world and telling other people about Jesus. After all, if we have that power for eternal life, the words of Jesus, shouldn't we be sharing those? Shouldn't we be helping other people come to know Jesus, our Lord, so they too might have that eternal life? Well, now let's go to Acts 4, 19 and 20. Let's see if Peter really means what he says. We know that on the night of Jesus' arrest, he denied him three different times. But this is a little bit later. Peter's had time to think about it. Jesus has taken him aside, really counseled him. And now the apostle, Peter and John at least, are sitting in front of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jews. These are the same people that condemned Jesus to die, and Jesus died. And that's what they're considering with Peter and John. And they decide, well, okay, we're going to let them go. Gamaliel gives them good advice. But they say, don't ever preach in this name again. Here's Peter's response to that. Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Peter wasn't waffling now. Peter wasn't cowering in fear. Now he was standing up and speaking what he knew to be true, even though they were threatened with their lives not to do it again. And that's what we're up against often, maybe not at the point of losing our lives, but there are situations we come up on where we have an opportunity to speak the truth or defend the truth in one way or another. How do we respond? Have we been discipled to be people of truth? And will we say what needs to be said in a spirit of love always? But will we speak the truth, or because of our fear or because we're embarrassed, we don't say anything, or we agree with something that is blatantly false according to the Word of God? Again, are we being discipled to be people who are truthful. There was a story on CBSNews.com November 1st, 2013. They were talking about the demand for organs, particularly kidneys. There's a black market, as you probably know, where people sometimes are kidnapped and their organs are harvested, sometimes even resulting in their death. Sometimes they sell their organs, and this one was focused on kidneys. And the article said that in October of that year, more than 98,000 people were on the list to have a kidney transplant. But in that year, at that point, only 9,708 kidney transplants had been done. Why no more than that? Because there weren't any kidneys available. None that were effective, none that were usable. And so this leads to many people saying, well, I'm going to sell my organs. And there was one doctor, or rather one man, I don't know if he was a doctor, but he was convicted in 2009 of helping people obtain black market kidneys for $120,000 or more. $120,000. Would you sell your kidney for $120,000? And you may be thinking, well, I've got a spare in the back. Even at that, I'm not sure I would do something like that. Well, I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. I'll give my blood, but I'm not going to sell my blood, certainly not all of it. I need this stuff. But there's one thing. You might decide, well, I would sell my kidney. That's up to you to decide. But Proverbs 23:23 says there's one thing you must never, never sell. What is it? By truth, and do not sell it. By wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And where are we going to get that kind of truth? We've already seen Jesus is the ultimate authority on truth. And whatever he teaches us, we are being discipled to stand up for that, to live by that, and not allow the world to teach us how to live. Being discipled is a lifelong commitment, and it means choices that are sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes unpopular. But if that's what the Lord says, that's what I'm going to do. Have you made your choice yet to follow Jesus? He'll tell you the truth every time. He won't tell you it'll be easy always, because it isn't. In fact, he says, count the cost. But where it leads is beyond anything you'll ever find on earth. If you need to become a Christian tonight, make your decision to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. Turn away from your sins, repenting of them. Be buried in baptism, and that will wash away your sins. And then live faithfully. Be a disciple. Be a disciple. And if tonight you realize I've not been a disciple, the world has taught me a lot more than Jesus has, you need to repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Can we help you in any way? Come as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he shed on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, be seated, please. The next song is Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Does anyone need Lord's Supper supply tonight? Okay, so we're going to sing Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Through all three stanzas, here we go. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed His beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, his sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with his shadow on me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransom soul shall find rest beyond the river.
The Lord's Supper again has been approved for tonight. If you go ahead and prepare your cups. Let us bow. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you bowed heads and humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this bread, that it represents your Son's body that was broken on Calvary for our sins. Father, bless each of those that take this as they take it in a well-meaning manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, let us pray again for the cup. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this cup that is the blood of your Son's body that was shed for our sins. Father, bless the one that takes this cup that's to take it in a well-meaning manner. In Jesus' name, amen. This is also a good time to collect for the gift, if you pray with me again. Father, again, we come to you with bowed heads and humbled hearts. We ask you to bless this gift that's given of the heart. May this gift be used to further promote your word throughout this world. Father, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
There were actually two prayer requests tonight that we're going to pray for right now, and then we're going to have a special announcement, and then the closing prayer. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. We thank you for the rain that stayed off long enough for us to join together in song. And Father, I pray that we've worshiped you in that well. But Father, right now we want to come to you on behalf of two. Father, one is an anonymous request because of COVID. And Father, you know the details better than we do. You know the person and their situation, and Father, I pray that you be with them and their circumstances, Lord. And Father, we also want to pray for Levi Haas, who's struggling with COVID as well. And Father, I pray that you'll give him the physical strength he needs and the emotional and the mental and the spiritual strength. Father, guide him through what feels like, I'm sure, is like a dark valley right now. I pray that you be with his mother and his brother, that they can strengthen him and that they can all support each other during this really tough time. And Father, bless us as we continue this worship time, as we have our announcement and as we have our closing prayer. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, just a quick announcement. I really am big on encouraging folks. I can only imagine being at that Antioch church when Paul and Barnabas got back, what kind of report they gave after that first missionary journey, and the encouragement they got that Paul and Barnabas went through all that, and they still are there to spread the word. Well, this past weekend, we had a men's retreat or Empire Mountain Men's something in here. And I really, really want to encourage everyone to go watch the videos. They just got them on the YouTube yesterday. And there's two of our guys who got up there and spoke and did an outstanding job. Josh Johnson, who is in Panama right now, did a great job on his marriage seminar lesson. It's about 19 minutes long. It won't take very long. And then Michael Rasnick, I really want to speak about Michael Raz is so quiet all the time. Let me tell you, he came out of his shell at the men's retreat, or the men's empire thing. And let me tell you, and I really want to encourage the wives to watch this, because it's all about Swift to Listen. Ain't that the name of it? Swift to Listen. And of course, he was explaining some of his listening habits with his wife. So anyway, highly recommended it. His is about 17 minutes, but the whole place was rolling. It was absolutely wonderful to watch, and I just want to encourage everyone, if you get a chance, to go on the YouTube and watch that. That's all.
Let's bow. Our Father and God, we're deeply grateful that we can come out like we have tonight and sing these songs of praise and to hear another lesson from Tim. And thankful, Father, for those that participate in our lesson. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here. Grateful, Father, to be outside as we've been able to enjoy tonight. Be with us as we separate. Again, certainly be with our group in Panama, and certainly pray that in coming days as they go out to visit door to door, that they will find people that are receptive and interested in hearing your word. And certainly be with them, and certainly pray for their safety as during the week and for the safe return. Continue to be with all of us as we separate from this place this time. In Jesus' name, amen.